To read from Nehemiah chapter 1, just as he comes to minister the word. And then at the end of the service, our young people will sing. So as soon as the Reverend Gray finishes preaching, the young people will come up, and instead of a closing hymn, they will bring a piece in song. Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments, let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments, which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me, and keep my commandments, and do them, though there were a few cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence, and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. We're delighted to have the Reverend Gray, good friend and colleague in the ministry, and he's going to come now and preach the word.
Please keep your Bible open in that portion of Scripture that Reverend Park has just read. And with God's Word open before us, let us all bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for His help as we come to consider God's truth today. It is a great privilege for me to be here with you. I'd like to thank the Reverend Park for the kind invitation to come along, and the Missionary Council, of course, as well, and our brother Eric, come along and preach at this Missionary Weekend. And we do pray that the Lord will come and speak to our hearts even around God's word this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege that thou hast given to us to preach thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for saving our precious souls. And we thank thee, Lord, today that we're found among God's people, redeemed for time and for eternity. But, oh God, we pray that you will come just now and, Lord, close us in with yourself. We thank thee for all that has gone before. We thank thee for the report, the testimony, the singing. And, oh God, we just pray now as we turn again to the precious word of God that you would have a word in season for all of our hearts. Oh God, as we've been finding out, Lord, this weekend, we're saved to serve. And we pray, Lord, that you would, in these days, those of us who profess thy name, give us that desire, give us that burden Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things shall be added unto us. O God, we just pray now, defeat the devil. We're so conscious of his devices, how, Lord, he would seek to snatch away the good seed of the word. We pray, Lord, that you would bind him, that you would cover our meeting in the blood afresh. And, O God, that you would help us only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We recognize, Lord, at very best, we're only sinners saved by grace. But, Lord, you've called us, you've sent us to open up the word and to preach it. And we just pray, Lord, that you might again anoint us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. But, Lord, our prayers hide man far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Very simply, at the end of our meeting today, I want to draw your attention to the subject, recognizing the need. The book of Nehemiah, of course, is the story of a man by the name of Nehemiah who returned to Jerusalem after being in captivity in Babylon. The reason why he returned was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down by the armies of Nebuchadnezzar. It is a story that tells us of the difficulties and problems that faced Nehemiah as he sought to do the will of God. Yet the events that are recorded in this book set forth the zeal and the determination of a man who, come what may, would finish the task that God had called him to do. In the person of Nehemiah, we see an individual who not only found out the will of God for his life, but who did the will of God in his life with all his heart, soul, and mind. Indeed, Nehemiah's whole aim and object was to carry out the work that God had called him to do. And although there were many setbacks, and if you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah, you will know that when he began to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, there were many setbacks, yet Nehemiah accomplished the work that God had called him to do. Child of God, and we said this last night, the most important thing in our lives is finding out the will of God and doing it. And I believe that God has a task for each and every one of us to do who are saved and born again of the Spirit of God. The sad thing today is that many of God's people live their whole lives through without even asking God to show them what his will for their lives is. We are saved to serve. How many times have you heard that? But child of God, I believe that is the truth. God has a work for us to do. Whether it's teaching a Sunday school class or preaching in the open air, whether it is being a missionary or a youth leader, whether it is sitting in your own home praying for the work of God or handing out a gospel tract to people who pass by. The important thing, we said this also last night, the important thing is not what we do for God, but to know what we are doing for God is in the center of God's will. Therefore, let me ask you a question today. Let me challenge your soul. Are you in the will of God? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Have you sought the will of God for your life? Do you know that you are in the center, the very center of God's will? Nehemiah was such a man. He found out the will of God for his life, and he did the will of God in his life. And as we have said, although there were many setbacks, he finished the work that God called him to do. However, it is interesting to note, when you study the book of Nehemiah, that God did not reveal his will to Nehemiah until chapter 2. God did not open up this door of service, of going back to Jerusalem and building the wall. He did not open up this door for Nehemiah until chapter 2. The whole of chapter 1 is taken up with God showing Nehemiah the great need of the work that he was going to call him to. Child of God, I believe before the Lord calls us into any fear of service, he will first of all show us the need. And while the need does not in itself constitute a call, before God directs us as individuals to enter into a particular part of his work, he will show us that there is a great need to be fulfilled. Very simply today, I want to draw your attention to this subject of recognizing the need. And I pray that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts, but especially to those of us who are saved. And I pray that if you have never recognized the need to serve the Lord, that the Lord will come and speak to your heart, particularly today. Our sister Joyce has mentioned the young people, but you know the truth is, it's not only young people that God wants to serve him. The Lord wants us all to serve him, whether we're young or whether we're old. And thank God, as we have already said, there is a place in God's work for each and every one of us. It's finding out that place. It's seeking the will of God to show us the area in which he wants us to serve him. First of all, I want you to notice Nehemiah's eyes were opened to see the need. Take a look what we read there in verse 3. Near the end of it, it says, "The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also was broken down, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire." We're not told how old Nehemiah was when this bad news came through to him concerning the serious condition that the city of Jerusalem was in. But the chapter would indicate that up until this time in Nehemiah's life, he had not fully understood the great need that there was among his own people in Jerusalem. It was not until his own brother, with some of the men of Judah, came and told him the awful state of Jerusalem, that his eyes were finally opened to see the great need of his native land. For the first time in his life, I believe, he saw the full extent of the devastation of the work of God back in Jerusalem. He saw that the people of God were in great affliction and reproach. He saw that the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates of the city were burnt with fire. And as soon as this message was delivered to him, Nehemiah recognized that there was a great need for someone to go and build the wall of Jerusalem again. His eyes were opened to see the need. Child of God, you and I will never do a work for God until our eyes are opened to see the need. God will never use us in his service, nor will he ever call us into his service until we get a vision of the condition of lost, perishing souls on their way to a Christless hell. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Before the Lord finally revealed his will to Nehemiah and opened up the door for him to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall, God showed him what he wanted him to do, and the Lord revealed to him the great need that there was, in that he opened his eyes to see the condition of the people and the place that he would soon call him to work in. And you know, before God calls you, I believe, to be a Sunday school teacher, he will give you a vision of boys and girls that are lost. Before God calls you to be a missionary, he will give you a vision of the heathen that are dying in their sin. Before God calls you to any work in the Church of Jesus Christ today, I believe the Lord will open up our eyes to see the need for the work that has to be done. And surely there is a great need. We have been hearing about that need this morning. We've been hearing about that need last night as well and throughout our missionary conference. And isn't there a great need? But here's the question. Do we see the need? Do we recognize that there is a need? Keep your hand in Nehemiah chapter 1 for a moment and turn over to a very familiar text of Scripture. It's found over there in John chapter 4. I'm not going to go into all the chapter here, but the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples, and I believe he speaks to his disciples on this occasion because their eyes were not open to see the need. If you study this passage of Scripture, and you'll know it's the story of where this woman of Samaria got saved, Christ saved this woman. But it's interesting to note what you read about the disciples here. They go into the city of Sychar, and they come out of the city of Sychar, and never once do they speak to anyone about the Lord Jesus. They don't invite the Samaritans to come out and see Christ, the Messiah. It's interesting to note that. And after the woman got saved, the Bible tells us she went back into the city. And she said to the men, come see a man. She was the one who did the inviting. She said, come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then she brought these men and the people of the city outside the city to introduce them to the Savior. I believe as that woman was coming out of the city with those men and the people of the city, I believe that the Lord Jesus and the disciples could see them coming. And as the Lord Jesus saw this multitude come out of the city of Sychar, he then spoke these words to his disciples. Look at verse 34, first of all. Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Notice here how the Lord links doing the will of his Father with having a vision for souls. My meat, Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, speaking to the disciples here, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, here's the vision. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He wanted the disciples to get a vision, to get a vision of the lost, to get a vision of perishing souls, to realize and to recognize that there was a great need. Oh, I wonder today, do we see the need? Our eyes need to be open to see the need. But turn back to Nehemiah chapter 1. I want you to notice something else here. I want you to notice that not only was Nehemiah's eyes open to see the need, but you'll notice that Nehemiah's heart was touched to feel the need. Look what it says in verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. As soon as this man of God was told about the state of the work of God in Jerusalem, the Bible tells us that he sat down and he wept. Not only for a few moments or a few hours, but Nehemiah's own testimony was that he mourned certain days. Just think about it. Indeed, so much was Nehemiah's heart touched for the need that he not only prayed, but he fasted as well, because the text of Scripture tells us that he fasted as well as praying. He refused to eat because his heart was broken for his fellow Jews that were living in affliction in Jerusalem. He refused to partake of food because his heart was overwhelmed when he thought about the broken down wall of Jerusalem, the city that he loved. Oh, child of God, it is one thing to see the need, but it's another thing to feel the need, to be touched by the need. You know, many of God's people today are aware that the world is on its way to hell, but not many of God's people stop and shed a tear for a world that is lost in sin. Have our hearts ever been touched to feel the need for a multitude that are lost? And I speak to my own heart as well. Sometimes it's so easy to, when you're even in the work, that you go forward and you just do the work of God mechanically. You go through the motions. And I think this is the great fear of any servant of God, any preacher of the gospel. We can just go through the motions.
but how we must continually, as we consider the great need of the work of God, we must recognize that souls are lost. And unless they hear the message of the gospel, they will be in hell forever and forever and forever. And my friend, if that does not bring a tear to our eyes, then nothing will bring a tear to our eyes. Are our hearts full of compassion when we think of the great need in the world today? Nehemiah had such compassion when he thought about Jerusalem, when he thought about the walls broken down, when he thought about the people who were still there. You know, there are many other examples of men in the Bible, of course, whose hearts were touched to feel the need of sinners that were lost. We think of the Apostle Paul. Paul said in Rome, Acts 20, verse 19, that he served the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. You remember what is said about Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. And of course, the greatest example of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked upon this scene of time in Luke chapter 19, verse 42. It says this, and when Jesus came near, he beheld the city. The same city that Nehemiah was sent to rebuild the walls. When the Lord Jesus beheld that city, the Bible says, underline the words, that he wept over it. He wept over it. Oh, that God today would give us tears that we might not only see the need through these eyes, but that we would feel the need, because there's a great need. And my, when you were listening, and I know that most of you weren't there last night, but if you'd been there listening to our brother Chris tell of the work that he's involved in, young people taken up with drugs, dying on a weekly basis. Oh, how we need to shed tears in these days for the souls of men and women, boys and girls who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Nehemiah's eyes were open to see the need, but his heart was touched to feel the need. Do we feel the need today? But notice something else. Turn back again to Nehemiah chapter 1. And you'll notice, and this is very important, Nehemiah's life at this point was unworthy to meet the need. I wonder, did you ever notice that as you read down this passage of Scripture? You know, this first chapter of Nehemiah tells us that after Nehemiah wept and mourned certain days, that in the midst of all this, he began to pray. Now, we're going to be looking at the prayer just in a moment and saying a little bit more about it. But all I want to draw from this fact just now is this. As we look at the prayer of Nehemiah here, we can see in it that Nehemiah realizes his own unworthiness and powerlessness to meet the need himself. Now just think about it. Nehemiah at this point in chapter 1 is in captivity in Babylon. He's a slave. So humanly speaking, there is absolutely nothing that he can do to meet this need concerning this wall on Jerusalem. He can't leave Babylon at this time. He realizes that unless the Lord steps in and does something, then the wall of Jerusalem will never be built again. Indeed, he goes a step further and he confesses his own sin before God. He confesses that it is because of his sin that the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down in the first place. Take a look what we read there in verse 6. Indeed, the latter part of verse 6, it says that he confessed the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Underline it. This is what he prays. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Oh, child of God, we cannot save sinners from hell. We cannot bring our children to heaven. Not only must we see the need of others, but we must see our own need. We must see our own need. At very best, we are only sinners saved by grace. And we all know that verse so well. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And believe you me, as preachers of the gospel, we all feel our inability. We all feel our need. And the truth is that if we could, and maybe there's those here today and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, if I could throw my arms around you and physically bring you to heaven with me, I would do that. If I could save my children and my grandchildren and my loved ones, if I, through my own ability, could bring them to the glory land, I would surely do it. But I can't. I can't. Because except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That is why we need to come, like Nehemiah, and pray, Lord, make me that clean vessel fit for the master's use. Prepare my heart for the work that you want me to do. Now, I believe that Nehemiah here was presenting his life to God, and although he was confessing his unworthiness for the task, he was saying, Lord, if you want me, I'm available for service. I believe that Nehemiah was doing business with God in this chapter. I believe that the Lord was working on his heart, that the Lord was beginning to reveal his will to Nehemiah. And as he thought of the broken down walls of Jerusalem, and as he thought of the need for someone to go and rebuild those walls, I believe in his heart that God was speaking to him, and that God was revealing unto him, step by step, you're going to be the man. But he prays here, child of God, there's a wonderful portion of Scripture, and we all know it so well in Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Our lives are unworthy for the task, but thank God if the Lord calls us, he will make us fit for the task. And although we cannot save a soul, we have the message of God that can transform a soul. And God uses means. And he can even use you, and he can even use me in his service. But oh, let us today dedicate our lives afresh to the Lord. I pray that not only will our eyes be open to see the need and our hearts be touched to feel the need, but I do pray that we will realize that without the Lord, our lives are unworthy to meet the need. But in God's power, and in God's plan, and in God's way, the Lord can take us up and use us in his service. You see, that brings me to the prayer. I'm not going to take the time to read verses 6 to 11. But you'll notice here, fourthly, that Nehemiah's prayer was offered for the need. He's coming to pray here for this great need of Jerusalem and the walls broken down. In verse 10, in his prayer, Nehemiah reminded God of what he had done before. The Lord had redeemed them. In verses 8 and 9, in the prayer, Nehemiah reminded God of his promise. And you can take the time when you go home and you can read about the promise there. But in this prayer, Nehemiah prayed for God to show him clearly what he wanted him to do. He's praying, I believe, about God's will here. Take a look at what we read in verse 11. We will read verse 11. O Lord, this is the prayer. I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, speaking about the king there. for I was the king's cupbearer. In his prayer, Nehemiah prayed for God to show him clearly what he wanted him to do. Oh, child of God, we need to pray for the need. But as we pray for the need, we need to pray that God will direct us in the direction he wants us to go in order to meet that need.
Many examples, and we can't take the time this morning to look at this, but there are many examples in the Bible where God's people were praying for the need, and all of a sudden in the prayer meeting, God touched the lives of those who were praying and said, well, I want you to go. You're going to go. My one example is Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, and they were praying for the need. They were in Antioch, and they were praying, and all of a sudden, God put his hand upon Paul and Barnabas, and he called them, and he sent them forth in order to meet the need and to bring the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. Oh, is there a young person here today, or an older person for that matter? And you're praying for God's will for your life. You see the need. The Lord has opened your eyes to see the need. You feel the need because the Lord has touched your heart. And although you recognize that your life is unworthy to meet the need, you're praying and saying, oh Lord, make my life. Make my life, take it and use it in thy service. I wonder, has the Lord spoken to you? And maybe he's coming to you today and he's saying, right, I want you to go to be a missionary. I want you to go to be a children's evangelist. I want you to go and teach that Sunday school class. I want you to go and give out those gospel tracts in the street. I want you to go. If he says go, go. You see, that's the last thing I want you to notice here. I want you to notice something here. I want you to notice that Nehemiah's feet were moved to go to the need. Now, we have that in chapter 2. The door is opened up for Nehemiah in a miraculous way to go to Jerusalem to rebuild this wall. I say in a miraculous way. Child of God, if the Lord wants you to do something, he'll open up the door. Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Maybe you've been praying for a long time for God's will in your life. Well, keep on praying. The Lord will open up the door. God touches the heart of an ungodly king in chapter 2. And Nehemiah is sent by this ungodly king to fulfill the will of God. The door, the way is opened up for Nehemiah to go and rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah at that point had a decision to make. Was he going to go back? Was he going to go back to Jerusalem and fulfill the will of God in his life? His heart had been touched. His eyes had been opened. He had been praying for the need to be met. And then all of a sudden, just what we were saying a moment ago, God opens up the door for him. And what does he do? He does the only thing that he can do. He goes back. Look at chapter 2. Look at the end of verse 8. We haven't time to read all the verses. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Then look at verse 11. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. You see that? As soon as God opened up the door, he went through it. He went through it. Oh, I wonder, is the Lord opening up a door for you today to serve the Lord? Child of God, make sure you go through it. Make sure you go through it. You know, I have many regrets in my life, but one of them is not serving the Lord. I never will regret serving the Lord. What an honor. What a privilege. The Lord today is looking for men and women to be goers. Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem. Now, there were going to be many problems and there were going to be many difficulties and the enemy was going to come in like the flood, and if you think you're going to go into God's work with no problems, then stay out of it. Because if you didn't believe in a devil before you went into the work of God, you'll certainly believe in a devil after you get into the work of God. There'll be so many difficulties and so many hindrances, and we're not saying that the will of God is a bed of roses. It is certainly not. There are
There are mountains to climb, and Nehemiah soon found out, and he wasn't long back in Jerusalem until he found out that there were going to be mountains to climb. But he knew that he was in God's will. He knew that God had called him. He knew that God had opened up this door. And child of God, that's the key. That's the key. Wait until God directs you. But when God directs you and gives you that word from him and opens up that door, make sure that you go through it. And if you do, the Lord will bless you. There are a lot of quitters today in God's work. God is not looking for quitters. He's looking for goers. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Go out into the highways and compel them to go in. Let us go into the next towns also, Jesus said. Therefore came I forth. I wonder, are you willing to go? Are you willing to go? Oh, make your life available. He mightn't call you to the mission field. He mightn't call you into the ministry. He mightn't call you into the Whitfield College of the Bible. He just might call you, mother, to sit at home and to pray earnestly day by day for the work of God. What a great ministry that is. Never despise it, child of God. Never despise it. Never despise those who pray continually for the work of God week by week. That's why you should come to your prayer meeting every week, to pray for God's work in this house and God's servant as he continues to minister here. And never think that you're too old to serve the Lord. Never think you're too old. You know, I often think of Caleb. And you know the story of Caleb. And this is what we read. Turn over just for a moment, and with this I'm finished. And then we'll go and get our dinner. There's a wonderful portion of scripture there in Joshua chapter 14. And in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb here, he's 85 years of age. Now, I don't know how many is 85 years of age here. I'm sure there's some. I'll not embarrass you by asking you to put up your hand. Not that it should be an embarrassment. But Caleb here was 85 years of age. Maybe there was quite a lot who would have thought, well, it's time to retire, Caleb. It's time to put up your feet and to relax. Oh, but look what is said here in verse 10 of Joshua 14. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day, here's Caleb talking, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, here's his desire. At 85 years of age, he still wants to serve the Lord. Oh, may God ever give us that desire to continue to want to serve him until he brings us home to glory. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. There's still going to be the problems and the difficulties and the enemy to face. That the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. Oh, may God give us, eyes to see, and may God give us a heart to feel. And although at times the life might feel the life's unworthy to it all, may the Lord give us that prayer to pray and to continue to go in his will and seek him and to seek his glory. Child of God, we've only one life. It'll soon be past, and only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Live for Jesus. Live for Christ. Give your heart to him. Give your life to him. And when you come to the end of life, then you'll be able to go home to glory and hear that, well done, thy good and faithful servant, recognizing the need. Oh, may we all recognize the need afresh. May God bless his word to all of our hearts.